Loving God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word. May we never lightly presume to hear your word. For in your word is abundant life. Amen. Thanksgiving weekend. Wow. Someone pointed out that Thanksgiving is the only holiday devoted to an emotion. Right? Most holidays are sort of religious or historical, right? You know, Simcoe Day or whatever, Easter. But Thanksgiving's not particularly religious. I mean, the origins may be agricultural, but you don't have to be a farmer. It's a day for us to stop and be thankful. Kind of neat. So I'm thankful for today, the way the sun's coming in. I'm thankful that I have family coming for dinner. My wife has done almost all of the work. I'm thankful for that. I love that she's retired. It's awesome. This election, there has been some vitriol, but no violence, and I'm thankful for that. You know, an election without violence is something that we take for granted, but that's really not how it is around the world. It wasn't that way for many of our grandparents either. I'm thankful for the World Cup of Rugby going on right now. And I know most of you don't care, but I'm having a great time watching the matches from Japan on my PVR because I'm not getting up at 4 a.m. So I'm thankful for technology as well. I took red tomatoes off my vines yesterday. I am thankful for this growing season in my backyard. It's been amazing. And I'm thankful for all of you and what we do here together. Sometimes I just wish that other people here would get it. You know, like young people would get it. You know, our kids, our grandkids. Millennials don't get church, they say. Well, except for Anne. But this is Thanksgiving Day, not Ennui Weekend, so never mind that I'm bothered by that. Let's just be thankful for the gospel, right? We just heard Bill read the gospel. Jesus, they asked, why did you come here? And they may have been wondering why Jesus crossed the sea or why they were in line at Starbucks, but Jesus took it to be a deeper question. Why did you come here into existence? Why are you in community with us? Why are you here? And he says to them, you think that you're following me because I've done some amazing, astounding things. You think that you're waiting for more water into wine, more bread out of bottomless baskets. But in reality, you're with me because you have eaten your fill of the loaves. Oh, no, sir. We did not. He didn't eat that bread. No, we gave it to the people like you said. No, not that bread. I'm talking about different bread. I don't think there was any different bread, Jesus. Maybe some rye in there, but you know, pretty much same thing all around. And what does that have to do with why we're standing here in line at Starbucks? I don't get it. I'm talking about metaphysical bread, something that will last even after you've eaten it, something that, unlike pumpkin spice lattes, is available all the time and will never disappoint you. You worry so much about getting the next thing that'll make you happy. The next iPhone, the next championship, the next achievement. These things aren't real. They come and go like salted caramel mochas. Some follow me waiting for the next trick, the next manna from heaven. But you know in your heart, you know in your bones that I'm not going to provide manna from heaven. Moses didn't even do that. It was God who provided the bread from heaven. It was God who provided then and provides now. And that's why you're following me, because you know down deep where it matters most that I'm not doing tricks. I'm showing you the presence of God. I'm opening your eyes to reality. And once you've started to feed yourself on that, you are never going to be hungry again. Now that story kind of hits you like rugby. Like, you know that it makes sense somehow, but you can't really figure it out. Like, really, are there rules? What does that all mean? It's just a bunch of words and thoughts all jumbled together. Bread of life, never hungry. I don't know. A lot of folk in the world today have gone gluten-free. They have no interest in the bread of life. So maybe our time is over. And I've seen this before. Some of you will know that I was in the antique business for 30 years, in my spare time, of course. For 25 years, I owned and operated a company that produced antique shows from Burlington to Ottawa, from Yorkdale Shopping Center to the Royal Winter Fair. Antiques were a booming business in the 80s, good business in the 90s. Everyone was searching for antiques, from Royal Doulton to Kittinger Furniture. Now, not so much. You know, there's a couple of dealers still making money, but the world has moved on. So, happy Thanksgiving. Much like the Limoges dinner set, you know, that you have in your china cabinet, the kids don't want your God either. Not dishwasher safe, not made for the modern world. I have friends in print journalism, and we've often sat and talked about how similar our professions are. Like a once thriving culture that had churches on every corner and three daily newspapers in big cities, bustling with investigative journalism and editorials. Well, now everybody under 50 pretty much gets what they need online. Clickbait and feel-good memes have replaced critical examination and imaginative spiritual texts. Jesus goes to the other side of the sea, and what happens next will shock you. Or me has bread of life with a cute kitten licking its paws. The world is changing, and it doesn't seem to be getting better. Happy Thanksgiving. But before we decide to pack it all in and give up Thanksgiving for the ennui weekend, I do love that title, let me remind you of a couple of things. You, me, us, we're not in the antique business. You, me, us, we're not print journalists. From time to time, we may think that we're done, but God's not done. I asked Bill to read that Psalm 100 because I wanted you to hear the last line in that psalm. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, his faithfulness to all generations. That's not a misprint. That's not a mistake. Long before that confusing gospel was written, the psalmist said with confidence that God's faithfulness endures to all generations. God has something to say to all generations. Happy Thanksgiving. Even in a gluten-free world, people still want the bread of life. They may engage their questions on WhatsApp instead of afternoon Bible study. They may gather on media platforms that we never dreamed of 10 years ago. But people still hunger and thirst for something more. And they know that it's there. They can feel it. They're just looking to find the way to connect. People want to be hopeful. You know, when a child is born, the world explodes for parents. There's a new depth to life that makes sense of infinite love, and it begs for engagement. When a loved one dies, there's a feeling, a hurt, and often a strange joy that we can't explain immediately, but we want to engage with it. The workplace is different today. We shop online. We carry 10,000 songs and as many books on our phones. But people still want to do the right thing. And deep down, we know that the right thing is usually not the easy thing. We need engagement. We need a struggle to help make justice and love real. We're looking for ways to do that. And never mind Twitter and Tinder, we all seek ways to talk about those feelings that come to us late at night when we ponder our existence and wonder about our meaning. Are we essentially good or bad? Or is everything kind of relative? Is this all that there is? Does the universe care what I do? People still want the bread of life because people still care. People still wonder. People still ache. People still love. And so does God. The wonderful thing is that God's love is revealed and embraced in so many different ways. Right? For the children of God living in the midst of war and occupation, in a time of exile, God reminded them that their struggle is recognized. They're not alone. Their anger and their pain is not ignored. Read the Hebrew Scriptures, or talk to those who've lived through apartheid in South Africa. Endure in war-torn countries, or were just devastated by Hurricane Dorian. Talk to them. And then for the next generation coming home to a place they'd never been before, God gave them permission to dance and make joyful noises, celebrate, even though many would have wondered how they could do such a thing when they had lost so much. Again, read the scriptures. Or talk to an immigrant family learning how to speak English in Canada. Or the ones who were spared the full force of the hurricane. Talk to them as they dance, even though they have lost. God's faithfulness endures to all generations, and each generation has different needs. In the Bible and in our world, God speaks to young and old, oppressed and oppressor, sinner and saint. You may have noticed there's a whole group of young people who are here just sort of wandering through the garden room. They all came here this morning with family. They're not sitting in here right now. They're off together, and I guarantee right now there's at least two of them that I'll be talking to after church, and we'll be talking about faith. What's happening in here right now doesn't speak to them, but they're drawn here by more than their parents saying, "You have to come, it's Thanksgiving." They're drawn here because they want to talk to each other, and they actually want to talk to me and Anne and other people of faith too. God speaks to them. It's just not the same way that God speaks to us. For my great-grandmother, she needed to know that Jesus walked with her and talked with her and told her that she was his own. She needed to know that God saw the little sparrow fall and knew every hair on her head. And with that knowledge and confidence, in her time, she would raise children and grandchildren. She would inspire her great-grandchildren. Here I am. She would make thousands of loaves of bread. She would love her community. She would impact lives in a positive way more than I could ever manage from a public pulpit. She lived lovingly and she died peacefully. God's steadfast love endures forever, and God's faithfulness to all generations, all of them. For me, a couple generations later, God assured me that I wasn't alone. Not alone when I wanted to act as if I was the only person who mattered in the world. Not alone when I felt hurt or diminished by life. God has welcomed and encouraged my gifts and my questions, has offered me mystery and engagement more readily than pat answers. God has been present for me, as present to me as to my great-grandmother, even though we're different, for the Lord is good. And God's steadfast love endures forever, and God's faithfulness to all generations. I do weddings for young people all the time, and most of them start off by saying, "Well, we don't really want anything religious." "Why did you come to me?" I ask. "You see where we are, right?" You know, but as we plan the service, they begin to request readings from Khalil Gibran or the Bible. And I point out that they're picking religious readings for their wedding, the one they want to not be religious. And then they shrug and they say, "Yeah, but these are the words that match what we're feeling." As they share the relationship in a community ritual, they're full of hope and wonder, and the ancient words of Scripture speak to them at a very deep level. For the Lord is good, and God's steadfast love endures forever, and God's faithfulness to all generations. We know this. Each generation defines itself against the ones that came before. "I am nothing like my father." Each one searches for a special vocabulary to meet their unique context. And God gets that. God always got that. And God doesn't present a bumper sticker or a tweet that answers all of our questions. Right? "As great as it is, do unto others as you would have others do unto you," isn't really enough for a full faith. It's a nice reminder as you go through life, but it's not going to take you to new places. It's not going to take you to the mountaintop and down into the valley. This can be hard for some, because when people don't speak like we do and don't act the way that we've always acted, we sometimes assume that God is not speaking to them. God is not acting with them. I know some of us watched those kids walking through the garden room and thought, "Well, they're just wasting their time. They're just doing it differently." So does that mean it's time for the church to pack it in and let God find another way? I don't think so. I think it's time for the church to stop worrying about itself and to trust in God, to dare to keep gathering people together so that they can find and share a language for speaking of deep hunger and deeper truths. because that doesn't stop. We need to keep gathering together to continue to love and not be afraid, to continue to share Jesus, a dynamic and real example of what looks like, well, of what love looks like and acts like in any generation. We need to learn how to talk about God as the personification of reality as easily as we speak of God whose eye is on the sparrow. There's room for both. For the Lord is good, and God's steadfast love endures forever, and God's faithfulness to all generations. Your generation, my generation, all generations. And so I give thanks today without reservation, without doubt, because God continues to speak to me in ways that my great-grandmother would simply not understand. And God speaks to my children in ways that I do not understand at all. And someday, when I'm somewhere that I've never been before, or face a challenge that I've never imagined, God will have something new to say to me. God will have bread to fill my hunger. I know that, for the Lord is good, and God's steadfast love endures forever, and God's faithfulness to all generations. Thanks be to God. Amen.